Ian Basrobi, the future of work. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Excellent, thank you. It is Yom HaShoah. So it is a strange day. So it's got a kind of, it's obviously got a certain energy, and we deliberately do that. We keep the music down tempo. So you rightfully said, well, you know, do we even talk about the future of work on a day like this where that is Yom HaShoah, that is a day of remembrance? But the reality is, yes, of course we do, because it's as important to look forward as it is to look back, and we are complex, nuanced people, and we have the ability to do all of that, because unfortunately, you know the quote, if you cannot dream of the beauty that can be, then you begin to die. The reality is that we do need to be able to look forward, and because of this year being so unusual, we've got all of this mix of Yom HaShoah, of COVID-19, of everything being in lockdown, of wondering where it's going to go. And that means we need to start trying to anticipate where things go exactly.
Howard, you know, picking up from what Anthony was saying during the Israel report about hindsight being a perfect science, I'm listening to the clips that you're sharing with a totally different perspective this year than I have in previous years. And one of my favorite ones was the Winston Churchill one. And it sounds so profound, and we latch onto every word. But if you think about it in the context that when he was saying those words, he was probably feeling a lot like we're feeling today.
Well, yeah, it's interesting that you say that. You're absolutely right. I also did that. And you actually could hear in it that there was a part of him that said, Britain, we might be conquered. We might be fighting them in the streets.
And that for me is how unprecedented these times are. And I think everybody is feeling this, is that I have moments where I have to actually step back and take a moment just to actually realize that we are creating history. We're not living through history. We're actually creating history with every single thing that we do. And that is huge. You know, I just want to, before we get into the future of work stuff, is yesterday I woke up and I saw my daughter participating in a school assembly on Zoom with over 400 school kids. And I realized that is a changing time. That is something that will be looked back on when people look back in the archives and go, well, what were the changing faces of education? What were the changing faces? And as much as she jumped on and she got onto the call, my daughter I'm talking about, I looked at this and I thought, this is a moment in time. And I'd like to share with everyone that as chaotic and as unprecedented, is sometimes just take a breath and just think about what we're doing. What we're actually doing is that as fearful as we may be and as anxious, the opportunities are exciting, but we have to embrace them. And what I wanted to chat to you about this morning was about mindset shift. And what I've found is that is currently the first and most important barrier that a lot of us are struggling to overcome.
All right. So what does that mean exactly?
So I think the most important thing is that when we start actually actioning this term that we call the new normal, we need to actually accept that we can't just talk about it. We have to do it, and we have to live it, and we have to experience it. And what it means is it means that we literally have to start working in a more agile way. And I don't want to start using all the catchy terminologies in that, but if we can pick up from what everybody's been trying to adapt in their workplaces is the agile way of working, is what that means is that agile businesses can respond to change in a time of crisis. And this is a time of crisis. And we could do that with greater speed and coordination. Now, if you can empower customer-focused teams, you can innovate at speed. And as you've seen, like with, are we going to continue the lockdown? Aren't we going to continue the lockdown? Who can do this? Who can do that? From one day to the next, companies and organizations don't know what they can and what they can't do. And as companies that want to remain ethical and want to operate within the law, they literally have to change their models on a daily basis. So thinking in a new way and accepting that each day is going to be different, and looking at that in a positive and an exciting way will help. I think people that try to put too much planning or long-term planning in place are getting very frustrated because they feel they put in so much effort and then within 2 days it changes.
Yeah, because it's very difficult. So maybe then that the approach needs to be not about the specifics, but rather about an attitude towards change.
Absolutely. And that's why it's a mindset, and that's why it's about focusing. And I really emphasize today is that focus on the people. And when I say focus on the people are the human beings, the respective team members within your teams. One of the things I'm encouraging with a lot of people that I'm speaking to is to embrace cross-functional teams. Use this opportunity to break down the silos in your organization that you've always wanted to. Test things. You know, I'm saying you can't, in this day and age, you can't really break anything because we don't know what really works. We're going to have to fail fast, and we're going to have to learn from these experiences. But I would really focus on your teams. And I think from a mindset as well perspective is I use this term very, very strongly is digitize the physical, but humanize the digital. And what I mean by that is that don't use technology as the answer to everything. Technology is just simply a means to an end, but don't forget the importance of actually interacting and communicating with your customers.
All right. So let's make that practical. How does one go about doing that? Where do you start? You know, let's assume I've got a relatively old-fashioned business. Maybe I'm in manufacturing. Maybe I'm in something that hasn't demanded that I embrace this whole new age. I'm not a technology company. Physical company. Where do I even start?
So you start by asking questions, Howard. And I think the first one that I always start off with is, how will my customers' needs change as we head into this new normal? So we are heading towards the relaxing or the lifting of the lockdown. So you need to start engaging with your customers, talk to your customers. You know, we often feel, and this is something that I find is amazing, but I guess it's human nature. We feel because we're isolated or in our homes that we actually can't talk to people. And I say to people, get onto a chat, get onto a Zoom call, get onto something with your customers. It doesn't mean that you're not working with your customers because you're working at home, as an example. So ask your customers, how are they feeling? What do they need? What are their expectations? And the most important thing is you need to start to think in a digital fashion. And I know that's difficult for people that are not technology buffs and all that, but everybody needs to maybe track back and look at the environment that they've been operating in the last 3 or 4 weeks and think of the skills that people have had to embrace by just getting onto a Zoom call or upgrading their technology at home so that they can communicate with the outside world. Think about what that will mean for your business. But I would start by talking to your customers. That's the most important thing. That takes no technology or anything. It means just talking and listening to your customers.
And what's the first question we would ask?
So I would first of all start and ask them and say, like, how are you feeling? And when I say, how are you feeling is probably the best opening question you can ask any customer, is because we're all experiencing this differently. And when you start saying, how are you feeling, that will generate a lot of information that you wouldn't get if you had, for example, say, what do you need? Because if somebody had to phone me today and say, what do you need? I don't actually know what I need because I don't know. There's a lot of uncertainty. So when you start off with a very emotional question or a question that talks to individuals or customers, how are you feeling? You can open up a whole bunch of interesting conversations and information. And for me, the biggest thing that's going to come out of this is partnerships. Unexpected partnerships is in a way where we used to have like this maybe invisible barrier between customer and provider, and there was this like line between it, like it was a service orientated environment. You're actually going to see partnerships because for the foreseeable future, we're actually going to have to work together to put in a structure that is going to resonate in this new normal. And I think it's very important that we segregate tasks and kind of things that we're putting in place that we believe were value added in the past, but are non-value added, and focus on the specific needs and making sure that you're addressing the needs of your customer rather than assuming that this is what they want.
Chatting to Ian Bassarabi, we're talking the future of work. So Ian, in every way, we have no idea really what is going to happen. And I just wrote an article for my broadband, and I spoke about it from the smallest gesture. In other words, from shaking hands all the way through to the macroeconomics in terms of how is travel going to be affected, what's happening to major industries. It's an incredible amount of upheaval. Each business obviously has to start somewhere. Where do you think they start? So you're saying with customers, and you phone up your customer and you ask what? How do you think the industry is going to change? Have you considered your business practice, and then try and get an understanding of what that means for your business? Does that resonate for you?
Absolutely, Howard. And I think that in times like this, we need to take a more holistic view of the relationship we have with our customers. You know, we've always spoken in the past about that everybody focuses on customer service and customer experience and all of that, and that stuff's all good. But in an environment where we can't actually offer those services and that experience because of restrictions, we need to learn more. We need to open ourselves up. And I think the one thing that a lot of leaders and management are finding themselves is they're finding themselves very vulnerable, is because they haven't had to deal with a situation like this. They don't have the skills. They don't have the experience, and that's okay. And when I say it's okay to ask questions, because asking rather than assuming, and I make a very strong point about this, is that we do a lot in these times. We tend to assume. We tend to assume that we know what other people want, or we tend to assume we know what other people are feeling. And we can end up making some long-term mistakes that could be detrimental to our businesses.
Give me a sense of that. Like, what do you mean by that? What type of long-term mistake?
So for example, being insensitive. And when I say being insensitive, and I talk about, you know, you were talking about travel and different things. One of the key shifts that I see is content versus context. And what I mean by content versus context is that if you understand your consumer thinking or your client's thinking and how they feel it, this will enable you to have a meaningful conversation. So a practical example is, don't go and offer a customer an incentive or a benefit to go and have a meal at a restaurant or take a beautiful holiday overseas, because those things, as nice as they might sound, they're not practical. And that could come across as being very insensitive, and customers could feel very offended, because people are very anxious as we speak at the moment. And if you kind of get caught out, if I can call it, by thinking, oh my word, these guys haven't even thought about that we can't go out for dinner, or we can't go out on a holiday, or you're offering customers solutions that are not relevant to the current situation.
Fascinating. So before we end the conversation, Ian, summarize your approach to anticipating rather than reacting to this massive change.
Absolutely. So I think the most important thing is that there are going to be shifts that are going to take place. And these shifts, some of them will be short term and others will be with us for the long term. So anticipate that there is going to be greater anxiety amongst individuals and companies and all of that. And what you're going to have to do is that companies are going to be very circumspect about how you receive things, like your packaging. You may have to think of packaging redesigns, sharing of personal health records. You know, like like there's a very controversial thing at the moment, but it's something we have to address, is this whole concept of certified, what we call certified immune consumers or certified immune providers. Now, what does that mean? That means that because the virus is invisible, people want some certainty, and there's a lot of apps that are coming out that are tracking people. So you'll be able to be kind of identified just by your presence or your location, whether you are immune or not. Now, you can think about the implications of that are great, but those are the things we need to anticipate. One of the others that just to chat about is that we are going to see a lot of increased tension and conflict. And I think that as you've mentioned, and we've both mentioned, is that there's many organizations and people who are operating in survival mode at the moment. Mm. And there is the tendency, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, that people may breach contracts or regulations along the way. And what we need to do is we just need to be cognizant that we don't get ahead of ourselves. We don't kind of like shift our moral compass and say, well, let me just get an edge here and I'm going to break a law. I'm going to do that. Because as we know, that's where your integrity and that's where your credibility lies. And people will watch for that. People are going to look at how you're operating, because people are looking at life through a totally different lens, and they're measuring you in terms of how you're operating. Are you operating ethically? Are you being cognizant of their health, their safety? It's very much about people are looking at themselves and looking at the people they engage with in terms of trust. We have to renew trust. So I think anticipate those things, because those things will be with us for the immediate future, and some of them will continue into the future.
All right. Thanks, Ian Basarabi. Time is 8:37. We chat to Ian every Tuesday at this time.